what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover. And Doc Dre, what Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, son, we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Rod's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag teaming like Teddy. Long going strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. These other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Rich and Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Rich and Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Oh, hell yeah. It's the big dog, Red Titus. And you're listening to the Running Wild podcast. Because if you're trying to run wild, this is the place to do it.
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well, then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Mandy Leon, and you're listening to the Running Wild podcast.
This is Sam Adonis, El Hudo de las Chicas, the CMLL, and you are listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside me, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're bringing you a super sick episode this week. We're going to be covering Raw and SmackDown. We'll be talking about Ring of Honor's first live offering from their Honor Club, which is Honor Reigns Supreme, among other news and notes. All right, so let's get started chronologically here. What did you think of Monday Night Raw?
It was okay, I want to say. I don't believe anything really of importance took place aside from the main event, which I'm kicking myself because, like, before the match, were you awake watching this?
Not live, no. I had to watch the main event, NyQuil.
So that's why I didn't text you, because I was like, oh, what the hell is the point? But I wanted, just because I wanted to have the proof, I should have, but I didn't. But I just was sitting here like, oh, Elias is going to win. Like, what difference does it make for Braun or Cena to come in sixth? Like, if Elias wins, that helps. You know, he has the advantage, the weaselly stuff that he can do inside the chamber. So I wasn't surprised when he won. I guess I was, you know, happily surprised, I guess you could say. But, yeah, I enjoyed that match. I like them putting over Elias and trying to do something with somebody that's not an established guy already. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah, no, I'm actually starting to get excited by Raw a little bit more than SmackDown. I mean, Raw always has the knock against it, I guess, that it's a little long, and I feel like as I get more, as I get older, I'm having a harder time, to be honest with you, staying up late every single week. Sometimes I fall out a little bit, but I really like that match. I love what they're doing with Elias. I think he's really good. He reminds me, and not because of the beard and the hair, but he reminds me a lot of Sandow. In like the potential that's there, and people are behind
not
him.
Not because of the beard and the hair. I think it's exactly because of the beard. Well, and the hair. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
because
like his gimmick is like a little different. Like what Sandow was doing the acting stuff, you know, that really made him different, and they didn't capitalize on it.
And you know, on what you're saying a little bit, and I don't think Sandow had this. Elias was on Edge and Christian today, and he was saying how that he has the freedom to just go out there and talk, and there's no like script that he's holding to. So when the crowd is booing him and he's like, oh, I'll wait, or you know, now I'm gonna have to start over, or that kind of stuff, that's just all him. And so that's pretty awesome, and I think that's because he's able to do that, and because he's good at that, that's really helping him get the character over to the point that it has.
Yeah, no, and it's so crazy because I'm thinking back to him just wandering around in the background and just being, you know, the drifter.
Right.
It was really, I really didn't believe in it.
And it got to a point where it was well done, you know, and you would chuckle or laugh when it happened.
Yeah.
Afterwards, when he started to like wrestle, I didn't care, because I didn't care about Elias and NXT. And, you know, that's unfortunate because I didn't get to see how talented he was down there, but once I'm getting the chance to see that now, it's flourishing.
Yeah, no, he's fantastic, and I think they're doing the right thing with him. And I can't. It's weird because I'm used to I think lately dumping on WWE a little bit, but I'm really enjoying that. I'm loving what they're doing with Jordan. I think it's smart, like not taking him off right away.
Yeah, just one more or two more questions with Elias. Well, one, so he mentioned that Cena was like, I don't know if it was a backstage thing or he was just like in the locker room, whatever, talking about something. And Elias was like, well, you know what WWE stands for, right? You know, walk with Elias. And he said, Cena was like, yo, you like, please use that. And then he said he used it, you know, like the next week with Cena in the ring, whatever. And there you go. But so that's pretty cool. But what do you think they do with the IC title? Like, does Miz just hang on to it? I know we've heard this speech from him, you know, time after time, of a long reign and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, like Elias in some type of match where he walks out with the IC title at Mania.
I mean, you could also, I don't know, I'm trying to think, you could easily have like Balor slip into facing off against Miz at Mania for the title.
Right. So what if you do that? What if you do Balor, Miz, Elias, whoever else? Maybe you do six man and you have the ladder, you know, something like that. But I think there are a good amount of mid-card guys right now, or you know, the IC title means something to me, at least right now. I've enjoyed the Miz holding it for, I don't know, the majority of the past year, and the stuff with Reigns and whatever. It means a little something. So someone like Elias, someone like Balor, that stuff helps. You know, Miz is amazing. It's not a knock against the Miz. I just think it's time he gets a shot towards the main event again, and, you know, someone else steps up here.
Yeah, I mean, Miz is always going to be over. It'll be interesting. I forgot who I was listening to the other day, but they were talking about this idea that the way Total Divas is taped, but then they'll have, you know, like, they'll have the angles that are currently running on the show of Total Divas, which is taped a couple months in advance, kind of pop up on WWE programming. So, like, if you watch the episode and let's say Nikki and Natty had a problem, sometimes they'll end up having a match on Raw, like, that week.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if they end up starting to do something with Miz where he's just always kind of there as an annoying like aspect, but he doesn't have to have the title or be...
Well, Right. I mean, I think he's kind of always been, he's always been at that point where he can just be annoying and be around. Over the past year or two, whatever, he, I don't know, has just gotten better all around. He feels more important. His promos are just, I don't know, feel more crisp. His in-ring work has been good. So, I don't know. He's kicked into another level, and we're all appreciating it. So, I he can always have that role, and he can always be the IC guy, and I wouldn't mind, you know, that being his division and et cetera, et cetera. But I also wouldn't mind seeing him get a run at a title and doing some things. You know, I think he's someone who could benefit greatly from being drafted to SmackDown. You know, just be the dominant heel on that show. That's it. He's number one, you know.
Oh, I mean, I think SmackDown could really use him. I just feel like...
Right. He just left there, I guess, right?
I mean, I don't know what's... Yeah, that's the other thing that's weird. And I don't. I just don't altogether know what's going on down there. I feel like they could be doing so much more, and things are just...
It'll be interesting to see if they have a draft after Mania.
Oh, they have to, right?
You figure they would, but, you know, we've heard, like, rumblings of things over the year, and nothing really happened, so I think it is about time that they shook things up a little bit.
You know what match surprised me on Raw that I didn't expect it to? Asuka versus Bayley, I thought was pretty good.
Yes, and I enjoyed the Bayley stuff with Sasha, saying, like, Bayley saying, you know, I'm better than you, so I could probably beat Asuka. That was just good, and it's obviously leading to a Sasha heel turn, probably Sasha Bayley at Mania, which is cool. That was the other thing I realized watching Raw on Monday. There's going to be, like, there could be up to 5 women's matches on WrestleMania, and all kind of feeling relevant, right? Like, you have the 2 title matches, Bayley and Sasha, maybe a Carmella cash-in or something with that, right? Nia has to do something. So they've done a great job establishing most of these women.
it's kind of crazy. I just wonder. I hope that they'll have time on the main show. It just
WrestleMania is 7 hours. I don't. Whatever. The pre-show is 6 hours. Okay, great. It's part of WrestleMania. I got whatever. You know what I mean? At this point, they have to fill that time, and I don't know. If you're having a match on that pre-show, it sucks, but it's still, you know, there's going to be at least one or two of them. You know, there's a Riot Squad, there's Sonya, there's plenty of women that need to do something.
Almost too many. It's...
yeah, right. That's kind of a crazy problem, right?
I mean, it's starting to get to the point where... And then with NXT, you're exhausting the town too. I mean, right? You're gonna have these. I don't think these 4 events in a row really work anymore in the same venue or the same area. Don't you think? Like, they're just exhausting the fan bases in those areas. Like, you're gonna say 7 hours for WrestleMania, NXT, Monday Night Raw, and I know not everybody goes to all 4. But right.
I mean, somehow it hasn't been bad. It's probably, like you said, because people like us can only take so much in person and whatever, so they don't go to everything. So there are different people at every show, but, you know, it is what it is.
Fair point. And I guess from Raw, that was really... trying to think. That was basically it, really, that I thought that was super important. The Jordan stuff was good. I like how, you know, he's injured. He's like legit injured, but they're continuing to have him on TV, and he can continue to be irritating in that way while he's resting up. I think that's always smart. You know, granted, some guys benefit greatly when they're taking off TV, and then they come back and everyone gets behind them?
I mean, I'm sorry to cut you off a little bit there. Did you miss the promo with Kurt Angle and him?
I did a lot of fast forwarding, so there is a shot that I may have missed.
Okay, like when they switched Jordan for Roman in the tag match.
Yeah.
He told Jordan, go home and go home until you're cleared. And that was legit. He had like some type of small neck surgery like 2 days later. So yeah, he won't be around for a little while. But you know, that's a little bit unfortunate because he was coming into a nice little momentum patch, but you know, he'll be back and people will probably hate him even more, so
I hope so. But see, like, I don't see why he can't just be back next week.
Well, yeah. I mean, maybe because he just had neck surgery. So,
so you can't clap ringside? I mean, you can't be annoying?
Well, maybe once he's well enough and it's close by or something like that, he'll be in a neck brace at some shows. Or maybe when he comes back, he'll be in the neck brace.
Bob, you know, Orton playing it up, man.
Yes, but
just be there.
Actual neck injury.
Yeah, I know, so it's real, but he could still just be around, be on commentary. Look, when
would
Matt
you
Taven,
like him to fly with, like, you know,
no
herniated discs or whatever?
No. I don't want him to do anything. But like when Matt Taven,
so how can he do anything?
It's not
like you don't want him to fly. You don't want him to move.
But he can be on commentary.
He can send in video. How? How?
He can just sit there. Oh, you mean fly?
How can he get two shows?
Hold on, buddy. When you said fly, I imagined off the turnbuckle. So I was like, well, no, they're not going to throw
Ladies
him,
and
bro.
Gentlemen, not everything
is
about
wrestling.
is about. I can't even, like, fly. That has nothing to do with jumping off the top rope.
You should have said, we're on a wrestling podcast. Verb. You should have said travel.
No.
They can get, like, a Lex Express.
Travel, room. Like, he can probably get in a car, you know, but.
Get John Cena and bring him in that freaking bus, man.
Hey, maybe.
The John Cena bus has got to be the best. Man, Natty will be pissed off. She'll
probably,
be like,
isn't the most comfortable.
Natty will be like, what the fuck? She's like, Jason Jordan's invited on, and I wasn't invited on? Who knows? Natty mad that she wasn't invited on the bus or something?
I think a couple
of them were invited, and then John was like, no, this is my bus. I don't want them on here. He just does amazing stuff like that. But yeah, no. Otherwise, for, you know, I guess because of the Elias stuff, I really thought that Raw worked well.
Yeah, it was solid, but nothing else. I'm excited for the Last Chance match next week.
Yeah.
Balor, Hardy, Wyatt, and
Apollo Crews.
Mojo?
Apollo Crews.
Mojo? Mojo's on SmackDown, yeah.
That's Apollo
Crews. And Apollo Crews. So now, like, the problem that I had with this entire qualifying was that John Cena fought Finn Balor. If everyone else is going to be important, then okay. But when Apollo Crews is in the match, then somebody else could have fought Finn Balor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We could have switched things up. But as long as Finn Balor qualifies, then that's fine. I think he will, because you got to figure Hardy and Wyatt are facing each other. And please, God, do not put Apollo Crews in this match over Finn Balor. That would be very stupid. So, yeah.
It could happen, man. It could happen. Okay, how about this? Bronze number two, all right?
No.
Apollo's number one, and Braun destroys him,
and then
the match gets started when the third guy gets in.
Nope.
All right. Listen.
Who wants to see Apollo Crews?
Nobody, but I'm telling you, it would be effective to see Braun destroy somebody right away.
Unless the Revival finds a third person and jumps Finn Balor. Then no.
Arn Anderson. By the way, did you see, there was a picture online posted about a week ago, somebody put up, of Arn Anderson when he was like 21. and he looks like he's 44 when he's 21. It's the greatest thing ever. He's just perpetually like 45 years old. It's the greatest thing.
He was the enforcer, man.
He might be like the fucking Highlander.
I don't know that anyone. Yeah, like, and I don't know that anyone like epitomizes their character more than the enforcer. Like, you just look at Arn Anderson. That's the kind of vibe you get, you know? No, this guy. Nope. You don't really want to fuck with him.
Do you think Arn Anderson walks around his house and just briefs in a t-shirt like, all the time, and maybe a jacket?
For sure the jacket, no shirt, and yes, probably his trunks.
I don't know why this is a segue for me, but and I know we're skipping SmackDown for a second, but I watched NXT at Center Stage. Mm-hmm. They taped there last month, and actually, Ring of Honor is going to be going back there in February. This weekend, Saturday night, they're going to be taping at Center Stage. And it's just so weird because I was there and it's such a different venue just to see how they basically have it set up almost the same way, except NXT decided...
How different was it?
They have it... Okay, so there's a stage, and the way NXT has it is like they have their ramp... They have the ring like in a diamond, I guess, shape. Like it's not square to the stage. So, like in Ring of Honor, they had steps going down from the stage, and then the ring is like the ring apron is perpendicular to the stage. Where NXT did it, where they shifted it so that the corner is like equal with the stage. So just a little bit of a different setup, but generally it's the same because the space is actually not that it's not that conducive to doing that many different things. It's a weird venue. So. But it was just, generally looks the same. It's just kind of weird to see, I'm watching Bobby Fish as part of Undisputed Era in Center Stage a year after I saw him in Center Stage for Ring of Honor. So it's just kind of
really kind of cool.
Mind-boggling that WWE and Ring of Honor are sharing the same venues.
And talent.
Yeah, super weird. All right, but let's get to SmackDown before we do go to NXT.
Oh, yeah, quickly, just since we were talking about Balor before, while I was watching it was Balor and Anderson against the Revival, I was like, man, I wonder if Luke, like, obviously not because Luke Gallows is amazing, but I was like, I wonder if Luke Gallows is on the outside, like, oh, shit, like, I'm just, like, they're just going to put Finn and Carl together and be a tag team, like, that's it.
Oh, Carl Anderson, that dude, he tweeted a picture of his son on the floor, like, crying, and it said... And it said, hashtag, hot Asian wife sent me this picture of my son breaking down after I left to go on my trip. And I just love that dude, hashtag, hot Asian wife. Like, that is...
He's hilarious, yeah.
Like, I want to know how that started. Like, if he did that to just really put himself in good graces with his wife. Like, he just started... He said it once.
No, like, he's... It probably started, it was a High Spots thing, I believe, and it's like all the Bullet Club is there, no like Bucks or anyone, like Tong, Anderson, Gallows, whatever, a couple other guys, and they're just freaking drinking the whole time, and Gallows' wife is there, and Anderson's wife is there, and he's like, come on, I got my hot Asian wife, come on, come here, my hot Asian wife. And like he just keeps saying, he's like, look, they don't believe me that I have a hot Asian wife. Come here. So like, it could have started there, or you know, it could have just been a thing he did in person. Maybe he did it in Japan. I don't know. But yeah, for sure it was on there.
That's so great. Just, he's so over with his wife. Like, he every time he says hot Asian wife on TV, she must just be like, yeah.
It's crazy that he's still doing that on WWE. It's hilarious.
Like, I picture him, like, sitting at home, and she's like, hey, we want to go do the dishes? And he's like, hold on, I'm just tweeting about something. And he writes, hashtag, hot Asian wife. She sees it, and she's like, you know what, honey? I got it. I'll do the dishes. And he's like, no problem. Thanks, babe. You're a hot Asian wife.
Why don't you try it? That's it. Just try it. See what happens.
Well, I don't think my... I think I'll get a very different reaction. Especially since my wife's not Asian. She'd be very upset if I started...
Well, I mean, I'm not... You don't have to say, I'm Asian wife, you idiot. You clearly say... Oh, my God.
Man, that would be great. I wish if she was on Twitter, she just started me seeing me tweet about my hot Asian wife.
She's like, oh, let me see what Rich has been tweeting about for the last couple months. What the hell is this hot Asian wife on?
Do you have a secret hot Asian wife? I'm like, yeah. I'm gonna get. Oh, this is great.
Terrible.
All right. So SmackDown, I mean, it's really all about that main angle with Shane and Brian and you know, Cammy.
And still, where the hell are we going?
And first of all, I just gotta say, AJ Styles brought this upon himself because, first of all, he didn't need to be at ringside. Second of all right, Sammy only talked to him, right? Just said something in his face. AJ didn't have to go crazy and punch them both. I mean, if he hadn't done that, there wouldn't be a triple threat match.
You know, you're preaching to the choir here. You know, I'm completely with you. However, like, that's fine. But it's going to be a fatal four-way now with Dolph Ziggler and I believe Baron Corbin having a match on SmackDown to see who joins the match. Why, I don't know. Maybe they'll take the pinfall. But I don't really know, like, what's going on here. I get Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, like, not having a problem fighting each other. I hope this doesn't lead to them feuding. It's too early. It's a waste of turning the ultimate babyface Sami Zayn, unless, like, he stays heel and Owens turns face. But I just... Yeah, just leave them together for a while. They're not doing anything else. Let them win the tag titles. Let them have a good run. You know, make them useful.
Yeah, I think that if you're gonna do their breakup, you need to do a really good build. And I don't think you started a month before WrestleMania.
Oh, I get it. Like, oh, let them have their Mania match, but like, no, not yet. It doesn't matter. You know. Like, yes, they have a history and they feuded, but, like, give them a real, you know, let them build up this friendship. Let them be a team. Let them do things for a year, maybe a little longer. And then you can do this next year at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should lose the match. I mean, really, I think what you do here, maybe the reason why they're making it a fatal four-way is you have... I guess
so
Ziggler take the pin,
and Corbin loses, yeah.
And then you let maybe Sami Zayn and Owens go for tag titles. Like, why not?
Right, I could easily see it. And after, I don't know. I guess it happens at Fastlane. The Bludgeon Brothers and the Usos, right? They keep walking past each other. But after that, unless you're calling up the Authors of Pain, then might as well be Owens and Zayn against the Usos and. That's fine. You could have Daniel Bryan back them, and maybe you have Shane back the Usos. I don't know. Like, what is the point of Shane and Daniel having this whole thing? Something has to come of it. Something. Shane took a shot at Daniel Bryan wrestling, right? Like, this week? I don't know, man. Are they going to, like, pull that trigger, or are they going to let him wrestle? I don't want to get my hopes up because it's not something I can ever believe happened. But where the hell else is this going?
Yeah, to bring it up, to really mention it is interesting. It feels like when you do that, then you make it that the payoff has to be that he does show up.
Right. Otherwise, like, that's just something everyone can say about Daniel Bryan every single time they're in a promo with him. Well, you can't wrestle. It has to mean something.
I mean, he...
It sucks that The Miz isn't on SmackDown to, like, have the match with Bryan. But, you know, whatever. The stuff with Shane has been going on long enough.
See, the thing is, when I think of... Maybe I'm a terrible person. Because I was thinking, like, even with Paige's injury, right? Couldn't she theoretically just have walked into the Rumble and then quickly been, like, thrown out?
No.
And with Bryan here... Why don't you just have him work like Andre the Giant? Like, you know, Andre never basically took any, like, towards the end, he, like, did nothing. Make it a tag match.
And I mean, Bryan has been saying since he got hurt the second time, that he was working on a style that would just be like no real risk. So that would be interesting to see what he does. And you know that if he's given that chance, that this is something that he has been dreaming of for the past however many years it's been. So, you know, it would be cool to see, but I'm worried for the man if it happens.
He's got to pick the
I read, everything he says, he's okay, but still.
He's got to pick the non-lifting moveset from WWE 2K18, and you'll be fine.
Right. Kick and Kelly.
God damn it. It's the K2, motherfucker. All right. And yes, those are my finishing moves.
What does K stand for?
Well, it's Kelly. That's why it's K2, Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
It's really more of a rocker dropper, but I don't know what they don't just call it the rocker dropper anymore. It pisses me off.
Kelly made it famous.
Oh, what did you think about the rankings this week on Superstars? On SmackDown?
I thought they were bullshit. Here I was like, oh, maybe this is a real thing. And no, it was not a real thing. It couldn't have been a real thing, right?
I mean, Naomi.
Like, Rusev was not on the top 10. If Rusev is, like, Rusev is the man, he should be on the top 10. Everyone in the locker room loves that guy.
But then you don't put Ty Dillinger number 10, so that's. they're obviously just going to stick with that. I love that Naomi can go home and look at her husband and be like, yo, I'm higher than you on the rankings for SmackDown Live. Which is, I mean, they're the tag team champions. How is she ranked higher?
And I get Charlotte and AJ being number one and number two. They're the champs. Okay. Like, maybe everyone would do that. That's smart. But they didn't put, like, people. It was straight just storyline. Like, it was like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of be expected. I didn't think it was going to be any more than that, to be honest with you. So, yeah, you figure it is what it is. And that was.
I mean, how do you say we're going to have the superstars vote, and then like if you're a superstar, wouldn't you be like, hey, what the hell? No, we didn't actually vote. You know, I don't know. So like, if it's possible, I guess that those are the rankings, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, me neither. And then Rusev lost to Rude, which
great match.
It was a great match. Yeah, and now we're gonna get a triple threat with Orton. I guess he laid both of them out with RKOs.
I guess a triple threat. He attacked Rude, so that was the one that I was figuring, just him and Orton. But I don't know.
Yeah, not super. I'm not really super excited about Randy Orton at this point anymore. He's kind of a Kane level for me, where I'm just like, eh. And same thing like when Big Show was like, there was sometimes with Big Show after a while, you're just like, I've seen you do so many different things that I just don't know if there's anything for you to do that will interest me. All right, you want to move on to 205 Live?
Big Show and Kane were giants who just eventually became whatever. Like, they couldn't really move as well. They weren't as likable, etc. But Randy Orton is still extremely popular. He still is good in the ring. I didn't mind the RKO out of nowhere. I don't mind when he just pops in and does stuff like that. He's been losing matches. He hasn't been just beating everyone, so I haven't minded Randy Orton in a while.
I really hate that hoodie with those sleeves. But whatever. Did you get a chance to see 205 live?
Yes, sir.
I thought Dorada Kalisto was really good.
No, it was not good.
What? I was really... I thought Dorada had a real chance of winning here. And
no shot.
Go ahead,
please. Go ahead. Give me your logic here.
The two, I mean, because either way, the guys are basically equal. Why not give Dorada a chance?
The guys are equal?
in the ring.
It was Kalisto against Lince Dorado.
Yeah. I mean, in the ring, they're equal.
Names alone.
Okay, name. No. Name is not equal. But I mean,
Lince Dorado was not very, not that good to me here. I don't know.
And I really like that match, and hoping to sell Lince Dorado mask soon on at the 205 Live tours that we're going to keep going to.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. This match, for me, was just kind of whatever. Nobody in the crowd cared, so that affected my caring for sure, but I don't know.
Well, all right, well. Then we got a video package for Andrews coming to 205 Live, which I think is pretty cool. I mean,
go ahead, finish your thought.
Just that thing. I think it's cool that they're bringing in more guys. You know, the UK guys. They're never going to get that UK show, so bring them on to 205 Live because most of them are under 205. I think it makes sense, and it's a good use. And I'm excited about that show.
Right, and now. What I was going to say was, in watching the last 2 weeks, they have been the first 2 weeks that I've watched. I was like, wow, 205 Live is pretty good. And then I saw the news this week that came out that said, oh, the last 2 weeks, Triple H has taken back over 205 Live, and now it's back to what it was supposed to be after the Cruiserweight Classic, which was basically just a continuation of the Cruiserweight Classic. And how that was presented and how those guys were presented and not just characters, which was a Vince call. So seeing those videos for the guys like Andrews and the promos and the stuff they're doing is phenomenal. And that's why we loved the Cruiserweight Classic. That's why we enjoyed that so much. And now, obviously, there's a tournament to crown the champion at Mania. And that's going to get people interested, but they're doing it with the characters and they're telling the stories in the ring. Tommy versus Strong was amazing. It was
Kenta?
No, Hideo Itami.
No, did you see what happened during the match? Roderick Strong is.
No.
He's going to yell at Itami, and he's like, Kenta! Itami!
That's awesome. Like,
clips are going around. It was really excellent. I know that was a really good match too. I mean, I'm obviously excited to see Strong go over. I'm more of a fan of his work than I am of Tommy's work. Not that Tommy's not good, but I just have a personal liking for Roderick Strong. So I'm really liking it. And listen, give me a 52-minute show. I love it.
It was great. And this was my other thing. The same thing with Balor and Cena. Why are Itami and Strong fighting in the first round? Itami could have beat Kalisto, and Strong could have beat Dorado. Right? Okay, cool. And then they could have fought in the second round. But, you know, I get it. Like, Kalisto, Roddy, I don't know. Andrews is fighting who?
You have the advancing so far are TJP.
Right, and TJP, right.
Yeah, next week, so it's TJP, Cedric, Kalisto and Strong advanced. Next week you have Andrews versus Tozawa and Nice versus Gulak.
Hmm.
That means that it'll be six guys.
Because
so two more guys. We'll
I wonder who wins either of those matches. That's kind of cool. I don't really have a feel for which way they go with either of those.
I would say Andrews
wins. Tozawa could win and so could Andrews.
I'd say Andrews wins because he's debuting.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, whatever. He could debut and lose. But, yeah, that could easily happen. But, and then Gulak and Nice is, you know, I like the way that Rockstar Spud set that up this week. And he continued to have a strong performance as the GM. And just when he talks and makes faces, I laugh. So
it's because he's British.
It's that, and it's his mouth. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Like, it's hilarious, the stuff he does. So, you know, definitely enjoyable, and it adds an element to 205 Live that, you know, wasn't there. So, definitely enjoying the Triple H view of 205 Live.
Hashtag small guy revolution. It's basically what he's leading. He's making this division more important.
Sure.
So no, but
yeah, I mean it'll. So that'll be six, and then there'll be two more. So I don't know what happens with Gargano in NXT. If he somehow earns his way back on, but I don't believe so. I feel like the locker room came out and stuff like that. So I don't know. I feel like that could be the end of it, and maybe he's on 205 Live, and maybe he's the Cruiserweight champion. Is that a bad thing?
What is the only thing that I wonder about that? And I mean, they can cheat, right? But what do you do about Ciampa?
What do you mean?
Like, is Ciampa under 205? Do you just lie about it? Oh, he's 201, actually. So he could show up on 205 Live.
They were both in the Cruiserweight Classic. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I thought he gained weight during recovery.
Well, I mean, yeah, it could be, but you could always just sell him as whatever. But yeah, they've set it up well. Like I think we talked about it last week a little bit, where Ciampa, I don't think he's healthy yet. So I think they brought him back to end this with Gargano while Gargano goes up, and then when it's Ciampa's time, he'll come up. Like maybe Gargano wins the Cruiserweight tournament at Mania, and you know who shows up to mess with him. You know, they can do anything, so that's perfectly fine, and I'll enjoy that. Ciampa, Roddy, Itami, Gargano, eventually Ricochet. That's a show I want to watch. That's a show I want to go to.
Yeah, no, that.
You know, those are matches I want to see on Raw.
That essentially means, yeah. Well, I guess on yeah. You can, if it wasn't on Raw, you could just start watching 205 Live and NXT at this point.
Right. And I mean, that's, they're doing so much and so many good things with the women, with NXT, not so much with the main roster. And I guess that's kind of, like, it's kind of funny, right? That if you look at the things that Triple H controls, the women and NXT, they are far different and superior to Raw and SmackDown. That's kind of crazy.
Don't let Statwife hear you say that, because she's convinced it's all about Stephanie.
Well, Stephanie and Triple H are working on the women together, but Vince even acknowledged that in the conference call this week.
Oh, he did?
But, yeah.
Oh.
And, I mean, it's just, like, look at 205 Live. Just look at 3 weeks ago and then watch 2 weeks ago. Like, it's a, or whatever, you know, look at a month ago and then watch 2 weeks ago. It's a drastically different show. And, like, it's significantly better in a short amount of time. And, yes, Triple H knows these guys. He's worked with them, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, they have a very different vision right now. And one is working, one not as much.
I mean, you know what I think it's coming down to, personally? I think we're going to get to a point, maybe not this year, but maybe next year, 2 years, where it's just going to be like Raw and SmackDown are for a certain audience, and NXT and 205 Live are for a certain audience, and they don't have to cross.
Well, it already is. You know, like, they have to cross because they're all the same company. But, like, they already are their own sort of thing, you know. NXT and to a lesser extent right now, but maybe down the line 205 Live, they draw the more wrestling based fan, you know, and the guys who know Roderick Strong and these guys from other companies. So people like that go to these and NXT, etc. But not. Those people don't go to Raw and SmackDown. There's a lot of kids. It's a family show, you know. And while NXT and 205 are also the same umbrella, they're presented as a whole different type of PG show.
Yeah, I mean, I just maybe I'm just trying to get us to transition to watching 2 hours of WWE a week next year in 2019 for our 200th episode. We'll be like, all right, this is the exclusive 205 Live and NXT podcast. It just seems like it's going that way, because at a certain point, when they have this much good programming, and listen, if you want to watch other things in life, like, it's got to get to a point where you can't watch 7 hours of WWE every single week. Right? You know, that's all I'm saying. Like, and who watches Main Event? What channel is it on? Where is that? Is that just on the network? I don't even... Why do they make Main Event?
you have to. You have to pardon me right now, because I'm watching No Way Out from, I don't know, 09, 08, one of these years. And as if this wasn't already bad enough, it's a mixed, I don't know, tag match with Boogeyman and Little Boogeyman against Finley and Hornswoggle. And Little Boogeyman got hit with the club, got the pin.
It's a shillelagh, and then, bro.
Okay. And then that's not important right now. Then the Big Boogeyman came in the ring, chewing worms, took the worms out of his mouth, and put them into the Little Boogeyman's mouth, who then proceeded to chew.
Did he get power from it? Like, did he hook up?
No, it's not okay. That's disturbing.
But I would just hope that he would hulk up after that.
Nope. Disturbing.
I mean, it's like swapping gum when you're making out, but you know, it's worms.
And a grown man and a little person.
By the way, they're both grown men. But anyway, speaking of watching old wrestling, I just got to say, jump in, make sure you follow me on Twitter. I'm @rich_laconi. Hashtag, I'm the only person who has this. Hashtag rewatch, Project Rewatch Mania. Rewatching all of them and tweeting about them. And I still got to say, my favorite promo, really one of my favorite promos of all time, is Special Delivery Jones. Before he goes out and loses,
this is gonna be amazing.
Yes,
this is gonna be epic.
This is the biggest match of my career. This is amazing. I'm so excited. This is happening. And then he goes out and loses to King Kong Bundy. Like, I just love that guy's work. Yo, who's going over? King Kong in 9 seconds. All right, hold on. We'll cut my promo. Like, that to me is a team player, man. Like, that dude. You know, that's like when you used to tell me, just go down the sideline. I'm not throwing you the ball. Just run like you're going to catch it. And I was super hyped to just do it. They just told Dusty Jones he was going to be at Mania, and he was like, yo, you know what? I don't win or lose. I'm actually really happy.
I guess that's a way to look at it. Like, yes, that really was the biggest match and moment of his career. He made it. He was on WrestleMania. It was important.
Like, if
he may have lost in 9 seconds, but he believed.
Maybe
they said, you know, go out there and try to win. And King Kong Bundy just beat him in 9 seconds.
That would take away from it from me, because I need to know that he knew he was going to lose miserably and still cut that great promo. And I'm telling you, I've never done it, but I'm sure that if you Googled or if you searched in WWE Network, Special Delivery Jones, that's got to be the top hit. Like, there's no other matches that people are like, the SD Jones collection. That would be great, the SD Jones collection. It's 3 minutes long. All right. And then I guess we should talk about the Honor Reigns Supreme card.
Yeah, sure.
All right. So what did you – first of all, it was really cool. I'm excited about Honor Club. I think, you know, they've set it up so that you – buying the yearly subscription, I think, is the only way to go. Essentially, like, if you're a regular member with a certain – I think it's like
$70. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I'm a ringside member, so I'm pretty sure it's, like, free for me until my shit runs out.
Yeah, you get grandfathered in, and then at some point you'll have to make the decision to go higher and get the package you pay for all the pay-per-views in one shot.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I mean, even if they're not producing, like, that extra content that we get from WWE, you know, in terms of the network.
But I think they will.
Yeah?
You know, you have guys on your roster that do it already, you know, and I get it. You're not going to have being the elite necessarily on, maybe you do. But, you know, you can just throw stuff like that out there and all the pre-tapes that they have and all that sort of thing. You know, I think they can do. And you can do a ride-along and just have these guys film themselves. You know, for the most part, they know what they're doing at this point.
Yeah, it's gonna be really exciting, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not sure how much of their library is going to come out right away, but I think it'll be fantastic for them to start putting that content up and being able to see it in an easier way. I mean, I have some of it, and, you know, stored away and stuff like that.
I thought I read something where they mentioned, like, how much of the stuff would be up there right away.
Well,
I can't remember.
If they put up, like, all the VODs that they have available now, because essentially they only have VODs back for, like, 2 years or so. Like, once you start getting to, like, the older, not even that old, but once you get started, you know, in some years they only have, like, one or two available. So I don't know if they're going to have to, like, they have different video formats that they're going to have to convert, so that could take some time. But they still have a good amount of stuff up there. I know that most people who are listening to this, you know, they're thinking fondly back on Ring of Honor. They're going to want to see much older stuff. And available on their website now, they didn't have a lot of much older stuff. So, they did have some stuff. Like, I got to see a Kevin Owens versus Cliff Compton, I think, in, like, an empty arena match. So that was from a while ago. So it's really good. But the first offering was last night. They offered Honor Reign Supreme, which last year was exclusive, you know, VOD content that you had to pay for, and they actually kind of kicked off their service, not completely. Like, they don't have it on Apple TV and stuff like that yet, but they had it on ringofhonorwrestling.com, and they also offered it on Facebook Live, which I thought was a pretty different option.
Right.
So let's run down the card and let's see what we thought overall. So what did you think about the show overall?
I thought it was a fine show for being free. I enjoyed the look of the card prior to it, and, you know, actually watching it lived up to expectations.
Yeah, same here. I mean, the start time for me was just a little off, especially on a Friday. Just interesting how they would get everybody to get there on time. I always think that Friday events starting at 7 are difficult overall. All right, so in terms of the card, I thought one of my favorite matches definitely was Gresham versus Jay Lethal. You know, they say that Jay Lethal is like the gatekeeper, but he almost is kind of the measuring stick when it comes to Ring of Honor. And I think even if you're an old school fan of the company, he's that guy right now that, you know, if you can perform well against him, I think you can perform well against anybody. And I think they showed that when Martinez ended up beating him in the tournament. I'm sorry, I'm blanking out on the name of the tournament right now. Survival of the Fittest, and that was a way to put him over. So having him and, you know, having Gresham with a really strong effort here, and I think their styles just mesh well, but having Gresham with a really strong effort here against Lethal, I think, was a great move.
Yeah, you know, you make him a bigger star just by being in the ring with Lethal and having that sort of match. So that's exactly what they needed, like you said, and that's what they delivered.
All right, so let's move on to Punishment Martinez versus Flip Gordon. You know, it's weird. This is a weird situation here because they're actually going to be airing Punishment Martinez's match against Dalton Castle tonight for the ROH Championship, which was already taped. But then you have last night. So you have this awkward situation where you have a guy that, if fans are just watching the product and not paying attention to results, you know, he needs to keep looking strong here. But at the same time, he did challenge and lose for the title. Right, because that's already been documented. So it was kind of a little awkward position here. I mean, it's still smart to keep him looking strong because you would presume that they're going to keep him at the top of the card even if he didn't, you know, cash in on that first title opportunity.
Right. You know, that only makes sense, and that's what you would expect. And again, that's what we got.
And you know, and the thing is, Gordon, I think, is getting really good at selling more than just. I think at first I'd see him, and he was, you know, really great at his offense. But I think he's getting better at, you know, selling, being injured, and having to try to overcome that, which is, I think, just smart in-ring work.
Agreed.
We have Kenny King versus Shane Taylor. I'm interested to see what they're doing with here. You know, they're continuing this theme throughout this match of Shane Taylor essentially turning into a good guy, you know, turning into a face because he's kind of fighting to make sure that his daughter's life is better. And, you know, and King is still angry over having lost his opportunity.
Okay.
So, you know, like you said, this is part of a VOD show. So, I mean, I thought the match was, you know, right down the middle. Nothing super exciting, but I like seeing Taylor's work. And King's always fun to see, too.
Right, and you know the right man got the win here, and it'll be exciting to see where they go with it.
Then we had the Bullet Club, Cody, Marty Scurll, and Adam Page versus the Kingdom. So this comes off the heels of Matt Taven basically super punting Cody. So when they had their title, they had their match on Ring of Honor television last week. After the match, the Kingdom held up Cody and like with his leg spread, and then Taven ran and gave him like a super punt kick, low blow. So you know there needed to be some kind of comeuppance from this. This is definitely, I don't think by any means this is the end of the issues between the two sides. It's clear to me that they're building with Cody and Taven and kind of keeping Cody in an angle while knowing in the back of their heads that they're gonna have Cody versus Omega, you know, at Supercard of Honor.
Right.
And Taven with the ring, I think, is great. I mean, he's just really obnoxious, and that's fantastic overall. I'm not a huge fan of this. So I don't like when you have the Ring of Honor champion, Dalton Castle, and the boys, and they end up going up against SoCal Uncensored. And the whole thing is, SoCal Uncensored, you're trying to keep them as one of the main trios. What we do know, definitely for them, is that Joe Koff said that they're not going to renew Daniels and Kazarian's contract at the end of the year because they've been so obnoxious and things like that. So there's kind of almost a countdown to final battle to see what's going to happen with this group. While on the other side, you have Castle and the boys, and I'm sorry, but I just need the boys to have names, not boy number one and boy number two. And I just don't love...
No, but then they're not the boys.
Okay, but I'm okay with that. I think that these guys are pretty good, and they could have kind of personalities that don't just behold them. They just got signed to contracts for this year, you know? I think at a certain point, you need to make them... They can still do the Twin Magic stuff, but they can have names. I think it makes them more important. So that's why this match didn't for me... It's literally Dalton Castle and the boys versus Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Scorpio Sky. You know, three guys versus the champion and two guys who wouldn't be believed to win the match without Castle.
Right.
And that's my only argument. I mean, the match work was fine.
But that's the beauty of Castle, and this is his gimmick. And it's not the first time the boys have been in the match, and they held their own the last time. I think it was with the Bucks, and they did fine holding their own here. You know, they're in there with ring generals. You know, they're in there with guys who have been doing this for ever. So they were able to take care of them. They looked fine.
And then the main event, and you had the Best Friends take on the Young Bucks. I mean, they've been kind of going back and forth on social media before the match. Essentially, the Young Bucks are saying that they're closer than the Best Friends are. And Beretta and, you know, Chucky T have been getting upset about that. And I've also loved Beretta and Chucky T on Being the Elite and how they're supposed to be dicks in real life. So that stuff's kind of cool. It's not translating completely yet to the Ring of Honor product in that, you know, they're not actually acting like complete dicks, but I could see them coming off as good heels if the company decides to go that way.
Right, and it's a good, like, I don't know if this is the Bucks, I don't know if this is Ring of Honor, New Japan, whatever it is, but you know, the Bucks and these guys clearly have a friendship or some sort of kinship there where now they're getting pushed, you know, necessarily together. They're having matches.
One of the major news pieces coming out of the night that we haven't talked about yet was actually the announcement, first of all, that Tennille Dashwood, formerly known as Emma in WWE, has now joined the Women of Honor division, and she'll actually be competing in the Women of Honor Championship Tournament. So Bully Ray came out during this announcement, and he basically inserted her into a match later tonight where she would be teaming up with Mandy Leon to take on Stacy Shadows and Kelly Klein. I thought it was a pretty good tag match. I mean, it showed off the division in a good way. Shadows is new to Women of Honor. She really hasn't been competing before, so this is the first look of seeing her on TV in an extended role. Kelly Klein really plays this, and commentary did a good job of adding in that Kelly Klein really kind of despises being in a tag team because she feels that if she's not in the ring at all times, the team doesn't have a chance to win. The crowd really seemed to be into this match, and they seemed to be behind the signing of Tennille Dashwood. So definitely adding star power to the roster, and really just, I think, a pretty good match for Women of Honor to be featured on this live show.
It was a solid match.
Totally agree. And overall, I really like the show.
It was a free VOD that was live, and so that's always cool. So, it was what it was.
And for me covering it live, you know, it's fun because normally I'm kind of watching the VODs in a social media vacuum. So it's cool to be able to watch one of these shows and have other people see what other people are thinking along the way as well. So I hope I know that not all of them will be live, but I think this is a really cool experience.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I think we covered everything for this week. Make sure you guys are following us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Running Wild LWS. You can find us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. You can also email us directly at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow me at rich_LACONI. As I said, I'm still doing hashtag Project Rewatch Mania. You can catch my Ring of Honor coverage over at ROHWorld.com, PWPonderings.com, Last Word on ProWrestling.com, and you can catch us on the Wrestling to the Max Network. If you haven't already, make sure you hit that subscribe button for iTunes. Make sure that you guys leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star review. If you don't want to leave us a 5-star review, why don't you tell us? And with all that stuff out of the way, just want to remind you that you guys have been listening to the podcast. It's just too sweet.
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.